And now, welcome to The Approach with Jeremy Seaholm, Danny Finn.
Welcome to The Approach podcast. I am Jeremy, and here's... This is where you say my name is Danny, Dan.
Dan, I was curious. I want to know what podcast number we were on.
Oh, I forgot. I've lost so much count.
One job. Well, who do we have on today?
We have, most people know her as Mario, Marion Johnson. Somebody who I have been a big fan of my entire, we've got, how long have we known each other?
Oh, for a long time.
That's saying that we're old.
No, I'm only 23. I don't know what you're talking about.
I am too, divided in half.
Oh, I don't know if your math is right.
I'm sorry. I
think you're like 11.
Yeah, I am too, actually, if you divide me in half.
I mean, that's my mentality.
It's true.
I'm going to be 42 going on 12.
And that's just his height.
It's true.
I just add them together, so I'm 9.
There you go. So what's going on?
Nothing. I'm at work, you know.
Looks like you're
doing everything.
Oh, it looks like you're actually in your house.
No. Nope.
Nice office.
That is a nice office.
So
usually we go all the way back to the beginning and how you got into bowling. How did you take up the sport?
Well, I've been bowling since I was 7 years old. I used to go to the Friday night pro league, which was a men's league at Baldinelli's, and watch my grandfather and my dad bowl. And Tony Marie Baldinelli used to bowl in that league as well. It was like a mix. And I used to watch her bowl for hours. And Rico, dad, Baldy, said that I should join the kids league on Saturday mornings. And I did. And then Tony, she worked with me, taught me how to do the three steps. Then I started doing tournaments, and I won my first tournament when I was 10. We won the girls like junior division with Krista Broussard. I bowled with her for years, went to Canada, have a lot of doubles and all events in the kids league. But that's how it all started, all at Baldinelli's.
So it didn't take long to get the itch, apparently.
No, I loved it.
I started bowling at 7 to 10. I was winning tournaments.
It's fine.
Yeah.
No big deal. I started bowling at 23, and I've yet to win a tournament. So one day.
I was lucky.
Not even one of those 1-2-3 tournaments we were doing during COVID?
No. No. No, I'm not very good.
Oh, we're going to touch on that.
We've won later. Together. You stop it.
Well, and I want to talk about that when we get to that further down the road about that extra league. But so you were born as a youth, and then you know, a lot of people, they, you know, you see it in the state tournaments, you have a lot of kids bowling, and then when they become adults, they don't really, some of them don't hang on and decide they want to keep doing this as an adult. What was it for you that made you want to continue doing this past youth bowling?
Truthfully, like, we had the pro tour, and they don't have that now. Well, they do. They have the pro series, or they have like the Nico tournaments on your tournament as well as out there. But it was like the pro tour. So I got into the pro tour because I used to follow Tony Marie and Johnny Brown and, you know, Karen McCormick and all of them. I used to follow all of the girls, and we used to bowl together in Tony Wellspring. And I joined it right out of high school. I got Rookie of the Year in 97. And then we had it's just weird how the tournaments, cause people forget that I've been bowling for so long that I actually bowled back in the pro tour, and I'd go to Canada with all the big names, and I'm still bowling. But, yeah.
You're still bowling and been doing it for so long. We had in the podcast last week, and I know I don't have Corey to support me on this one like I did last time, but Jeremy was talking with Chris Bovaire about, you know, coming up now, you know, they don't have, who you brought up, like the Morgans and the Ulsters, and I jumped in and I said, you know, not for nothing, I said, you guys, you don't realize it, but as somebody, and I'm not trying to just be, you know, putting myself down, but as somebody who's kind of looking up to those better bowlers, I was like, that's you guys now. Like, that's Jeremy, that's Chris Wilbert, and you're bringing up Tony Marie. Like, what does it feel like to be following all of those people? And now you're one of those women that a lot of the younger girls and even some of the women that are still bowling, like, they look at you as those benchmark female bowlers. I mean, you're a good bowler regardless, just, but to be one of the top female bowlers, like, does it feel weird that you were watching people like Tony Marie and now that's kind of where you are right now?
It is, actually, because, like, I still don't think of myself that way. I'm still like, yeah, I guess I am, but it's hard.
See, Jeremy was like 100%. I'm like the Tommy Olsta of this generation. So he said the same thing. He said, I don't feel they don't, you know, I think when you're there, you don't feel like you're that person. And we had Tommy on the podcast, wait, you know, about a year ago?
A year and a half. Yeah.
And he said when he was at the top of his game, he never felt like he was, you know, anything special, even though everybody else was looking at him as, you know, the greatest bowler. And it is kind of weird to think about it, but I think most people, when they're in that seat, they don't think of it as they're the person everyone else is looking up to.
But I mean, they also had, I mean, he was on Channel 50. I mean, how many weeks out of a year, every single year? I mean, he was literally in like almost everybody's like household, like every Saturday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm not.
And I do know that it's different as far as to the non-bowlers, but I think to the community, which let's face it, is just continuing to grow and you're seeing it more now. I mean, there's a tournament every weekend. I mean, I feel like it used to be, even 10 years ago when I started running tournaments, I could throw a tournament on a day and nobody would care.
Yeah.
As far as like running into another tournament. Now it feels like you're walking on landmines. When you pick a date, you pick a date and people start yelling at you immediately. Oh, there's already a tournament that day. Or you're bumping into it. There's so much to bowling now. Mm-hmm. And I think as the community's growing, like I said, you guys are that group that, you know, the upswell of people, the ACBT, the ACST, B, C, and D, you're the people that we're all looking at.
It's a lot of letters, I'm not going to lie.
Did you remember them all?
No.
I didn't.
There's a test at the end, by the way.
Oh, no. Then I'm going to fail. Definitely going to fail.
But going from that youth to adult bowling, like, what was the big change in that? Did you feel like the competitive nature changed? Did you, like, what was that jumping from youth to adult bowling? Because it feels like there's not, like, baby steps into it. You kind of have to leap right into it.
Yeah, well, see, all right, I'm showing my age. When I bowled in the ICBA and the NBA when I was younger, when you were in the seniors, you could win money. Mm-hmm. So they give scholarships now. So my junior year in high school, I could win money, but then they changed that. So it was like, I guess, honestly, I liked bowling for money.
See, I thought it was always for scholarships.
No. So I bowled with Catherine Bailey. What's her name? Sandra Biolic. Did I say it right? Trisha Bold, Trisha D'Agostino Bold. You could win money at one time because Catherine Bailey won money. I actually have a picture of her with Phil Helmrich giving her the check.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I never knew. I always felt like youth bowling was always scholarship or gift card or something like that. So that's pretty cool.
No.
Well, the gift card thing ended up being later on. But I think because we're only a couple years apart. But yeah, I think when I saw it, it was for scholarships.
Yeah. See, I've been bowling. you guys make me feel old. I've been bowling in the ICBA since 1987.
Yeah. Six.
Thanks.
but you were probably like 8 or 9, right?
I was 10.
Okay. So
it's funny now too, because like for us, the NBA, so Kate and I run the kids league in Millis, and you know, our best bowler ever that we've had is about 100 average. We've never had like those top tier 120 average bowlers coming out of our kids league. But we also just started about 10 years ago. So you have to build to something. It doesn't just come.
Wow. Has it been that long?
Yeah. We didn't realize it was that long until we were trying to figure out how long certain people were in the league. Cause there's a few people that have been there since we started it. But so it's been about, I think, 9 or 10 years. I'd have to go back and look. But some of the kids that are turning 17, 18 have given up their eligibility to bowl states. Even Millis is no longer an NBA host anyways. Well, the thing was, because the NBA is all scratch, they realized that they had better opportunities bowling in handicap tournaments, and they just jumped right to the adult handicap tournaments versus bowling in those other tournaments with the kids averaging. You know, I remember my older nephew had to go up against Josh Daly. He had a 94 average, and Daly was throwing, you know, 120s and 130s at him.
Yeah, see, both my daughters bowl, and, you know, like, they're great bowlers, but there was a time when Sage was bowling, like, her senior year, she was almost ready. She's like, Mom, I want to bowl in the tournaments with you. Mm-hmm. I'm like, no, I think you need to stay one last year just to keep going. And it was a struggle, but she did it.
Right. But they were probably one of the top tier bowlers in their class, right, as far as juniors go. So yeah. That's, I think, where the little bit difference is, where the kids that we had looked at those kids throwing up those numbers and said, I'd be better off bowling in a, you know, 80 or 90% handicap tournament. But you were right. I mean, both of them are excellent bowlers. They've both whooped me on separate occasions. So, to speak to that, was that something that when they were young, you wanted them to be bowlers, or did they just take that up naturally?
Kind of both. So my dad ran the kids league at Baldinelli's, and then it went to Leo's. And he used to run that with Tony Marie. They actually did the ICBA like logo. My dad and really? Tony Marie. Oh, wow. Yeah. And my dad taught for years, and I would be working and going to school, and then he would take the girls. And so they just grew up in a bowling alley like I did.
Yeah. It's funny. So my daughter, she just turned 9 a couple of weeks ago, and this is her second year in the kids league. Mm-hmm. Like, even before, like last year, like, she was like, yeah, it's fun. You know, I like doing this. I like coming every week. But now she's like, she's not using bumpers. She's getting better. Like, she had my stepfather-in-law made a deal with her. He said, every time you throw a strike, I'll give you $20.
Incentive.
Right. In the last 2 weeks, she's made $100.
That's great.
And like, she doesn't quite, I don't want to say she's got the competitive bug. I definitely, but like, I don't know, like, she's just getting the beginning of it, but she's getting better. Dan can tells me all the time that it's basically just a matter of her hand getting bigger, but she loves it. Like, we told her, like, you know, she has her birthday party with her friends on Saturday. She's like, we're not going to have time to bowl. And she threw a fit.
Yeah.
So she loves it. And I'm hoping that continues. Cause I mean, right now, and it's another topic I wanted to talk about, was where, like, the state of the women's game is, which I think it's actually in a very good place.
Mm-hmm.
At least talent wise anyway.
Yeah. There's a lot of great bowlers out there. There really are.
Yeah. I mean, talking about like the longevity wise of bowling, like, I've only been in this game for a little over 10 years. And, you know, I know I didn't see a lot of the heyday stuff because I got into this late. But for me, it's like this, to me, the game is in the best spot I've seen in the last decade. Obviously, we can't compare it to the 80s and 90s, but in the last decade, I think it's really flourished.
It has. There was I would say like 5 years ago, it was almost like it was declining a little bit. And then now it's coming back up again.
Yeah.
And stuff. My favorite tournament out of all that I've bowled in is actually the mixed tournament.
The mixed worlds?
Yeah.
Which I still say that's harder than worlds.
It is, but it's so fun. And you just get the energy and the people, and you just go out and you have fun, and you just, it's really hard. I'll say I have a lot of energy and I'm a big ball of fun when I'm out there. I love to bowl good, and I love everybody on my team to bowl good, but I'm going to cheer for everybody. I don't care if you're bowling next to me, 3 lanes down, I'm still going to cheer for you. you know, that's just who I am. And I just love the energy and I just love to go up there.
I've only ever watched that tournament, and it's just, it seems like so much fun, just the everyone around it. And because, you know, you have the ladies internationals, you have worlds. This is really like the one time that the men and women can get together and showcase their talent.
Yeah.
And it's really a lot dependent, especially because they have the 120 rule. You can only have two overs. I think it is. Oh, it really leans on the women hard to bowl well.
It does.
They make the difference. I mean, Fournier said it. I've said it. Like the women literally make the difference in the tournament.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
We do. What can we say?
It's true.
Yeah.
So you're watching, you know, you brought up your two girls bowling. What's it like now? We talked about, you know, you coming up through with Tony Marie. What's it like for you to watch them bowl and continue to get better and put themselves out there in tournaments?
It's fun to watch them compete. It's really funny when they bowl against me, because all they want to do is beat me. And you know what? They do. They beat me and stuff. But then, like, it will come right down to it. And they'll be like, Mom, can you just stop? And you just like, do you remember who I am? I'm like, yeah, but I'm just not going to give it to you. You know? So.
Or should you? Make them work for it.
Oh, I do.
I think my introduction to Sonia was at the Exeter Pro League the one year when I had bowled with you, and they had moved me to the two hole. And I remember that conversation with Brian Mayer. I don't know if you know the conversation I had with him, but it was, I forget what week, it was like third or fourth week we were up there, and I looked down at the scoreboard and I noticed he had moved me to two and moved you down to three. And I said, oh, am I going second? And he pulled me aside and he goes, so I decided we were going to shake up the lineup. We're going to put Mario third because, and then he paused and went, because she's better than me. He goes, no, I wouldn't put it that way. And I went, oh, I'll put it that way. She's better than me. So I was in the two spot and I threw a strike, you know, it's a loud environment, especially.
Boom, shakalaka.
And then Sonia threw one and she turned right at me and went, I can do it too. And I was like, all right, this is going to be a lot of fun. Like, that was literally my introduction to her, was her yelling, I can do it too.
Yeah.
After she matched my strike. So, but like your whole family bowls with that, like that level of energy. Well, I don't know if anyone can match her energy, but you can see if as close to.
Have you seen Sage? She's so quiet. She's just like, just throws the ball.
Okay. Yeah. So Sonia's got your energy.
Yeah.
That's a good point. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if I bowled again. I know Sage was there, but I don't know if we ever went head up against each other. I think we had flipped after that. After we bowled against them.
Yeah, no.
Or she was so quiet. But yeah. But when you're that quiet and people have accused Jeremy of that, it's almost like it's sneaky. And then you look up and you're like, where the hell did that score come from?
Well, that's what they do when they look at Sage. They look at Sage, yeah. Go up there and they're like, whoa, is this girl coming from?
Yeah. But between the three, is there any more family bowlers other than the three of you currently bowling?
No, my husband bowls, but that's about it.
And then, of course, you're going to have a whole other generation coming up pretty soon, too.
Yes, I do.
So no. Did you have, you had to have made the mixed double show on Channel 50, right?
So the last year that they had that, I was in the audience. I actually missed it by one pin.
Oh, no.
Yes. And I missed to my teammate Tony Wellspring. So, but it was all good.
Did you ever make the Comcast show? Because I know they used to do.
Yeah, I did.
Show too. Okay. So at least you had that experience.
Yeah.
How would you describe how that was your first time?
I was nervous. I was very nervous. We were bowling at Woburn, and Woburn, that house hates me. So. And I hate to say it, but I'd rather bowl at Wakefield than Woburn.
That's a really? That's a harsh comment.
Yeah,
I don't know. I've heard that.
But it's true.
I don't think I've ever heard anyone say, I'd rather bowl at Wakefield.
I think Fournier put his team out of Wakefield just to get people aggravated.
He did. it's actually funny. So one of our warehouse guys Bulls in Wakefield on Friday nights. He's like, yeah, they have this Friday Pro League team out of Wakefield. I don't know. It doesn't. They don't seem to look like they're doing good.
Oh no!
I'm like, oh no! I'm like, Wakefield's tough. I'm like, come on, let's. He goes, yeah, I know. And he's like, I'm only averaging like 85. I'm like, well, that's probably like 95 anywhere else. I'm like, so look at it that way.
Yeah.
But oh my god, and it was funny because like, there's this kid. You know this kid, Josh Daly? I'm like, yeah. I'm like, it's too funny. But yeah, no, like that first time when you get up on the lane with like the lights and everything, and basically everyone is just staring at you.
Well, I just recently just bowled in Candlepin for Cancer, and you know, was fun, but that was hard because we didn't break. It was just like, ooh, 12 strings right in a row.
Jeez.
What seed were you?
I was the 5th seed and I went all the way to the finals.
Oh yeah. Because if I believe it was Channel 50 used to do two shows, break for lunch, two shows.
Yeah.
Yeah. When Alley Chat was doing the show, when we did it at Lita, it was bang, 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 bang. Yeah. Like I think he ordered a pizza in between somewhere where people could eat, but yeah, it was quick.
I was bowling against Glennis and I was up and I go, I think I need a TV timeout. Yeah.
Although I don't know, I almost feel like me personally, like if I was going to bowl that many, then take a break. Like I look at the Easter Classic and how people can bowl 10 strings, eat like a full dinner and then go bowl 10 more strings. Like I would want to go take a nap. Like
I can't do that. I can't really eat and bowl. I can pick and bowl, but that's, I can drink and bowl, but I can't eat and bowl.
Well, if you can't drink and bowl, I mean, then like, what are we doing?
I know, right?
I mean, I feel like that's just kind of what Candlepin bowlers do. I mean,
yeah. Well, that's like the big thing is, and not that you need drinking to be part of a community or part of a group, but like that's the whole thing where a lot of the bowling isn't just to throw in the balls at the pins to get the score. It's the group of people you're around. Like that's,
yeah. It's like a little family. You got to remember that. Like bowling is like, people just look at it. Oh, you're going to bowl. You're going to do this. Oh, you're talking to this. No, it's like a community. It's like we're family.
Right.
It really is. I mean, we're such a small group of people, I guess you could say. I mean, there's a lot of us, but it's such a small community. Like it really is. It's a second family.
It is.
So you had about a year ago or so, we had Maddie and Evan on the podcast, and they, if we want to talk about that a little bit, you had a little bit of a health scare.
I did. They're great. The bracelets like meant the world to me. It was,
for those who don't know, do you want to talk about that a little bit?
So I had stage 1 breast cancer and I went through chemo and all that. And I didn't want to give up bowling and I didn't want people to see me when I was down. And I just kept pushing and plugging and just kept doing it. And I don't want to cry, but it just meant a lot. That everybody came together. I mean, I had my Canadian friends, my friends from Maine, everybody, they donated and they came, they supported me. And when they didn't, you guys had the Worlds, the men's had the Worlds. It wasn't the real Worlds, but at Lita. And that picture when everybody took with me meant so much. And then the Sunday Pro League did stuff. And it just, you guys all came.
Jeremy can clean this up.
So it meant the world to me.
And that's one of the things we see like with this community where people, you know, we're all competing against each other on the lanes, but when somebody, you know, has something that they're working through, you know, I don't think in a lot of ways you feel like you're working through it alone. Like you feel like the whole community is going to walk hand in hand with you. Did you feel that way?
I did. I have to say that through the whole thing, like Maddie and Evan did the bracelets and they would check on me. Jeff Surrett and Kristen Surrett and Allie and Dave Barber were there for me throughout the whole time. They checked on me, everything. They were like right there. They were huge supporters. And it was because of you guys that I fought so hard. And I mean, my family was right there with me, but I'm just, I don't want people to see me when I'm down. I just, you know, that's just not who I am.
Right. But I mean, you even said your family's part of the community as well. And like, that's got to be kind of cool too, that you kind of, your family intermingles with your Boland family in a lot of ways too.
They do.
So.
They do.
So coming back from bowling, like, did you, how hard was it to then come back and bowl back to, you know, Mario level?
I'm still not at Mario level right now. I will say that I haven't completely come back yet because it's different. I'm getting there. I'll be back, but it's just a slow process just because there was so much, like, I had to get my stamina back up there. I wasn't bowling as much as I was. I would join, I would do my leagues and I'd do the tournaments, but my first real big tournament after going through everything actually was the all-nighter at Stars and Strikes. And that was different. And that was so much fun. Can't wait to do it again.
So what is the all-nighter? I might've missed that one.
So you start bowling at 6 o'clock at night and you get done bowling at 6 o'clock in the morning.
Jeremy's speechless.
Yeah.
I have a hard time starting at 8 o'clock and finishing at 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
It was fun.
By the way, that league starts at 7:30. We start at 8 because I roll in about 8 o'clock.
It's literally what happens. Like, without fail. They're like, oh, is Danny coming? You got to give him till at least 8:05. Come on.
He's not late until it's, you know, 8:15.
It's funny because we're bowling with my wife and a lady we used to work with. So this is my wife's first experience of Dan's, like, tardiness. And she's like, Jesus Christ, does he ever get here on time? I'm like, no, it's what he does.
But see, Exeter, Chris Parkinson drove me in, so I was never late for Exeter.
I only live 3 minutes down the street.
You really?
I do, right around the corner.
So what are you doing for leagues now?
I bowl in the Augusta once a month, and I bowl in a fun league with my dad on Fridays. And Exeter, it's fun.
Yeah. Exeter has some great leagues. Like, that's one of the, I know some people in this room aren't super, you know, bowling real well at Exeter.
It's been brutal.
Jeremy.
It's so bad.
But the way it's run and just, you know, it's one of the better houses.
Oh my God. I love the house to death. I do. I will continue to go there and support the place. I love Rob.
Rob's great.
I love the pub. Like, the food is great. The drinks are cheap. It's great. It's fantastic. I suck this year. It is so bad.
Put it this way. I have a higher average at Millis than Jeremy has at Exeter.
You know what? My average right now at Exeter is only 107. And
it's higher than mine.
Jeremy.
Was it after the second string of the second match? I went up to Craig and I was like, apologizing profusely, and I'm like, I am so sorry. I am so, like, I don't know why I'm so terrible. And he's only like a 113.
I looked at the post that they, you know, after every week. Now I don't know about all the other leagues at Exeter, Mario. You might know more than, well, you definitely know more than I do. There's not one person in the pro league at least averaging 120 right now.
No.
So I don't know about other leagues. Like, is there any 120 bowler at Exeter right now?
I don't think so. The only one I would think would be like John Witchell, but he bowls on Tuesday night, so I'm not sure.
Yeah, he's got to be over. I mean, he's a machine. He can bowl anywhere on average 120, I think.
But, like, you know, that brings up a point to what I said to you and Corey earlier while we were waiting, and Maddie's the highest average in the league with a 119.
Yeah.
Now, do you know, so there was debate on this. Maybe you know the answer to this. Now, if she stays top 12, is she a captain or is it men only? Okay.
No.
That's why I thought that, but somebody told me that it's only the men can be captain. And I was pretty sure, because we had Amy Doobie on the podcast, and I was almost positive she said that wasn't the case, that it goes by average, not by.
Yeah, it goes by average.
Yeah.
It doesn't go by your gender at all.
Okay.
Yeah, so I mean, if she's the top average in the league, there's no reason why she should not be a captain.
Right. It's arcing that way, unless you have a lot of outside people that jump in with, you know, 120s.
Well, yeah.
In travel, and I was a captain last year. Because of my average, I was a captain.
Okay, so you, yeah, I forget who told me that, but somebody said that a woman can't be captain at Exeter, and I said, I don't think that's true.
That would never be true, and it shouldn't be true. Yeah.
It shouldn't, I agree. Not my league, so I don't try to over, you know, make opinions on, I got enough of my own stuff going on that, but that's good to hear. So, do you think the house is tougher this year than it has been in prior years? Or is Jeremy just terrible?
Yeah. No, tougher.
Is it the pins? Like, what, do you know what it is?
I don't know what it is, because I've always gone in there and I've averaged like a 116, 117, and yeah. I'm like, whew. But you know what? You got to hit them. So right. I don't know if I'm throwing the ball too hard or if I'm throwing it not. Maybe I'm overthrowing. I don't know.
Yeah,
well, that's the thing. I'm trying to either take some off, or maybe I need to throw it harder. I don't know. Maybe I need to daily it. Just
can you
and daily it?
I can't. My arm would come out of its socket.
I don't get how people throw that fast.
Yeah,
but he doesn't. It looks more natural than you know.
But I have to get back on the floor.
All right. Well, thank you so much. Okay.
All right. I enjoy talking to you guys.
Are you sure that's not a house? I swear to God, that's a house.
It's not.
They make it cozy.
All righty.
All right. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
Thank you for having me.